Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning, LAT. We thank God for this morning. Give the worship team another hand clap. And even a greater one to the worship team choir master. Yes, it really makes a difference. Hallelujah. To have someone who is a pastor or a shepherd who is so passionate about worshiping God, and not just that he knows what to do. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here once again. I was going to say I bring you greetings from Western Uganda, but that would be a lie. Yes, we traveled to stand with our brother and sister Christine and Dr. Dennis when Dr. Dennis lost his father. And yeah, the sting of death, eh? You pray that you'll be raptured. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, so it was a good time. And especially on the road. Now I think your pastor and his wife and Grace Joy know a little bit about me and Sam. You know, you want to test a couple, eh? See how they drive. So when they are together in the same vehicle. So Sam was driving, I was seated right behind. Pastor was at the front, he was a co-driver. So me, Grace Joy, and Auntie Geraldine were at the back. But I think I drove most of the time. By the time I reached home, my foot was even hurting and my back. I think I had my own pedal. Glory to God. Yes, and also that shows that maybe Sam and I should always have separate cars. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So we went, came back safely. I can't take it for granted. And we experienced Uganda, the western side, the beautiful hills. We didn't see a lot of cattle. We also saw Matoke. There are many things. But God has gifted this country. Hallelujah. When you're in town and you're jumping from one mwala to another, one gali to another, you may think, Wanange, God, this country is forgotten. But try, go to your village. You will see that you actually, it's a blessed country. Hallelujah. Amen. We are blessed. Ugandans, you're blessed. So today, what I really felt on my heart, I was so glad. People, you should always come at 10:30. That is when we start the service. I was glad that Sam read a verse that I have prepared to share today. And I didn't tell him. I don't share with him. He just asks me, so are you done? Are you done preparing for LAT? How far have you gone? So usually my response is in percentages. So I tell him, I'm at like 40%. I don't tell him the details. So when we started service today, you know God loves LAT. Eh? When we started service today, he shared from Isaiah 40:29-31. And he said that is our promise, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew our strength. And in Psalm's own words, he says, that is our promise. Glory to God. I think, yeah, now it's displayed there once again for those who didn't come on time. But this is how Psalm started your service. Glory to God. And I thank God for that. For me, it's a confirmation that what I'm going to speak today is really, really, really of the Lord. In the past two Sundays, we're talking about how to finish, how to run the race, and finish. And not only finish, but also finish your race with joy. I kind of felt that last part of joy was a bit tight for some of us, and for me at times. But I was like, did he have to really put joy? Can't he just say finish well with what? But you have to, the Bible says you have to finish with joy. Glory to God. Sometimes you look like I said at the Lord's army and tumazeko, but you've watched those movies where there are soldiers and you know they are all ailing, they are what? Okay, yeah, you've won that battle, but my friend, you've lost so much. But you see, that is not how God wants us to finish. Hallelujah. He wants us to finish with joy. And as I was contemplating on it, thinking and praying through the week, I was like, what is that one thing, Lord, that you would want LAT, Esira, Okusimba Wesira? What do you want us to focus on? And I was reminded of the prayers that Paul made in Ephesians and Colossians about praying for inner strength. So today's sermon, really, I'm going to share and just remind us about inner strength. Strength in your inward man. You see, like they say, it doesn't matter. Like you've seen, I was watching the Olympics this year. You've watched Olympics. You've seen how those guys run. And you see a guy who starts. Okay, many people saw Amani Takeira, eh? But I'm going to make a case for Amani. Eh? I'm going to make a case for strength. They say, Amani Getakolachi Takeira. But I'm going to tell you that you need that money. Glory to God. So as you watch these long distance runners, Paul in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, he really pretty much drew that scripture from the experience of athletes. And you know that when you're watching them, there's a guy who starts and he's running. Okay? Then in there are pace setters who keep going off. But then you know, like you, if you've watched those, what are they called? The one that's gone. If you've watched those, they are not matches. If you've watched those competitions, you see, you can almost bet that the guy who started out and paced, Tagenda Malako. So for me, I'm always looking out for, if there is no Ugandan, I'm looking out for those chaps who seem to be struggling there. Because these guys run. And then along the way, did you know that if a race is an hour, I have seen people or athletes top the team for up to 45 minutes. And that person has been resilient at the front, eh? But in the last 15 minutes, a guy comes out of the blue and tops. And you're like, but you are doing so well. Yeah. And for people like me, who are not football lovers, we tend to get those other sports, eh? those athletes. And because usually they are Ugandans, people that, for me, I may not be able to relate with Henri, Mbappe, what, those guys, about what. But Kiptegei, yeah? Those ones I relate with because I'm like, I know that guy, I feel like a man who is running. And in my heart, like when those guys are running, I'm running with them. And if you want to ever see me like really scream and what, yeah, just give me such a match, such a race. And so why am I making a case for inner strength? Because it is so important in our walk of salvation for us to finish strong. Now, it's up to you to appropriate whatever I'm going to say. You could appropriate it to a promise. You could appropriate it to your destiny if it is clear. But many of us, I know, are really not so sure about our destinies. And that's the truth. Eh? And I pray that it gets more clear and clear. But you can start with appropriating it with a promise. But in case you do not know what the exact details of your destiny, what you've been called to do for the Lord here on earth, just take this, add it to your archives, and know that you're going to need it at one point. Glory to God. Amen. So for us to finish well, strength is a requirement. Another example I can give you is, you know, strength, not just strength, like bodily strength, that is one, but strength of the inner man, which is equal to, which will help you to build endurance. When I go out, I was told by one time by a trainer that you need three things to be fit. You need bodily strength, that is the muscle mass, but then you also need endurance. So you have to do a lot of strength training that helps you to build endurance. And when you do, and then the third thing you need is work within a certain time frame. So this guy told me, he told me something that is so like pertinent to everything that we do in life. You can't say that you have a destiny. Your destiny has a time frame. You have days allocated to you here on earth, all right? So that time, it is catered for. You know that you're not going to live forever. Or at least you have to live like you know you're not going to live forever. I know children who are here, you don't want to hear that. But we, your parents, we're not going to be here forever, yeah? So we all have, our destinies have a time cap to them. Then you need to build your muscle mass. You cannot, that is your physical strength. If for you to fulfill your destiny, you must be strong body-wise. You can die, my friend, with a very big destiny waiting for you. You have to look after yourself well. Sleep when you have to sleep. Eat healthy, the shrubs, the twigs, the what, and some pork here and there. Do all those things. Take your soda when you want to. And that's okay. Take your coffee. Drink a lot of water. Now look after your body because it's the one that is going to help you. It's your earthly suit. Then the last one is build endurance, okay? Building endurance. You need endurance. Sometimes things get so tough. Sometimes things get so hard on our walk, on our race, on the race track. Life gets difficult. And that is why you'll need endurance. Sometimes, maybe even a lot more than the strength. Maybe a lot more than your physical strength. You need to endure the hard times. And where does that strength come from? It is the strength of the inner man. So this guy trained me and told me that you are as strong as your mind, which to me translated to the inner mind. So he kept on telling me that you have to push yourself to a point of failure. Push yourself to a point of failure. As if you feel like you're not going to fail, then you have not yet reached that point. So, and then he said, and now that is when you're building strength. I told him I didn't come to die. I just came, paid my 20K, to just work out, have my heart rate up, and leave. He's like, but you cannot continue doing this. You're cheating yourself. So even us as Christians on earth, we need that inner, that strength in the inward man. That strength, the inner man's strength. Hallelujah. And I'm going to make a case for it, eh? You know why? Because the reason why we need it is because we know God knew that as mortal men, we are limited. As mortal men, you are susceptible to weakness. Like you can be healthy. Nenga amanyi munda tuina. Okay? You reach a point and you're like, Mukama, I cannot go on. I can't do this any longer. Sometimes, what causes us to get to those points? Maybe it is suffering along your race. Maybe it is the delay of a promise. Maybe it is, and all these things, they lead you to depression. You're just done and out. Like, done and dusted. Yeah? Like, let me just call it a day. And guess what? You will draw back. There is a time I reached a point and I told God, I don't want any more revelations. God was telling me about something. the revelations come, the dreams come, the word. And even when they would come, and I'm not really trying to downplay the role of revelations and dreams, but I've realized that for someone who has 5% endurance, yeah, and maybe if you have, let me say, 95% revelation and 5% endurance, chances are you're not going to run that course well. I had rather then I have 5% strength or endurance, okay, without that much revelation. And I'm going to tell you why. And for me, I told God, Echocho, if you send me that dream, thank you. But just even the ones that I have are enough to go by. Just tell me how to show me, give me strength to maneuver just these two that I have. Because if you're going to give me 4, 6, 10, and I don't have the strength to even walk in that 2 you have given me. So I started praying to God. Like, God, if a prophetic word comes, a dream comes, thank you. But strengthen me to just go through, to at least make the first 3 steps. In the life of an average Christian, like you find people make 3-2 steps after a revelation has come. What? Your marital destiny. You make 2-3 steps. Then 5 years pass. You're like, mukama. Then another 2-3 steps. Then 6 years go. Those are 11. Let me tell you, you're going to lose the strength. Even if God continues showing you, whether you're going to get married, you'll get married, you'll get married, you'll get married. And even if he shows you, by the way, the date, the year, the what, if you do not have the strength of the inner man, if you do not have endurance, you may fail to even make it to that date. You may fail. Just using an example of marriage. So God knew that we are, knew that we are human beings and that our strength fails. And so he made provision, like Sam read this morning, he made provision to restore us. Psalm 23 verse 3, he restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Unless the soul gets tired, then there is no need to restore it. But God knew, and he made a provision for us. Here, for me, is evidence that my soul at one point will need restoring, that my inner man will need restoring. Okay? Then the scripture that Sam put up there, please don't put it up again. All right? So we need strength. And there's many things we can do to strengthen our inner man. But today, particularly in the line of building strength or strength training or endurance, we are going to talk about just mainly 2 scriptures. The prayers that Paul made for Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, and Colossians. So Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. So here it says that he would grant you, God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might. To be strengthened, this word might means in the Greek it's dunamis, power. To be strengthened with power through his spirit in where? The inner man. Not brute strength, not you building kanyama, but in the inner man. Colossians 1:10-12. You see, Jesus Christ is the perfect example. But not just Jesus. We're going to look at 2-3 people in the Bible who had to be strengthened. Nabobakowa. There were people like us, Nebakowa. So here NIV puts it well. It says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Now, here, verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. So that you may have great endurance. Ladies and gentlemen, on your salvation walk, my walk, we need this, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. All might. And you know what? It is not strength that comes from you going and sitting and meditating, you taking you taking that vacation where, you know, white sands and palm trees. That will minister to your body. But you can come back after your leave and you still need another holiday to be strengthened in the inner man. But now you see, the case here is not physical brute strength. It is actually strength in the inner man. The inner man is basically your mind, your soul, your spirit. In one version it says your spirit. In another version it is your mental, your intellect, your emotions, your will. You need that. You need all those things strong. You need them up and running. Hallelujah. And it is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Paul prayed that to be strengthened by his spirit. By his what? Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Not anything else, by the Holy Ghost. Now, these were prayers that Paul made for the church in Ephesus. That Paul made for the church in Colossae. And guess what? They were prayers to Tandikirao. So that means that you too, you have to pray. He wasn't preaching. He was praying. Hallelujah. He was praying. A time comes, and even, you know, when I just gotten married, they used to tell us things like, okay, I used to hear before we got married, oh, your spouse, you tell them everything, not bad, tell them everything, you have to go through everything together, eh? But man, as I've grown in marriage, I realized, hey, there are some journeys you have to take on your own. You see your friend there, he takes his own journey, you also take your own. Is that division? No. It's just the way life is made. There are some things you have to walk through yourself. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know that he took his burdens up there. He was so sorrowful because of what was going to happen. He took his friends. And even, you know, and he was so picky. He chose, he's like, Bano beba gai bangi. These three, yeah, Bano. So he goes with them. Do you know what? The chops slept on him. And Jesus had to walk that journey solo. He had to walk that journey solo. He comes back, he even begs them. He had to walk that journey alone. And it happens in life. A time comes, no musumba, what your best friend, mother, father, whoever is so close to you cannot even reach you. You just have to run. It's your race. It is your track. Mukama wa kutade, you must run it. You must run it, and you're going to do it alone. Now that is where there are no cheerleaders there. There is nothing, nobody cheering you. Okay? Like in the physical. There is nobody in the physical cheering you, and you just have to run that race alone. And you need endurance, and you should have built it. You know, you don't build endurance on the racetrack. You start early. Glory to God. You start early. And when you look at the example, let me give an example of, we go to 1 Kings, because the Bible tells us about Elijah being a man of like passions. Very powerful man, prayed for the rain to cease. It ceased. That's James 5:17. Rain ceased. He prayed earnestly. Rain ceased. Then he prayed again. Rain came back. A man of like passions. So after he had experienced this victory at Mount Carmel, Jezebel comes and tells him, you guy, I'm going to finish you. I'm going to do what you did to my prophets. And guess what? This guy takes off. Elijah, the Bible says he is a man of like passions. He's just like me and you. And I think I was sharing this in the prayer meeting, that if it was me, God, me, if I was God, and I see Elijah busting like that or running like that, I'd be like, for real, Elijah? Like, I would even meet him along that way. I'd be like, no. Tochi Susa, please. You've just seen me. You've seen you yourself. By the way, Elijah even gave God the idea to call down fire. It doesn't say that God had told him that this is how you should, like at Mount Carmel, this is what should happen. Elijah is an Ukeman. He declared, you know, he was a prophet. I declare, hey, now, let's get put up an altar. Pray to your God. If Baal is Baal, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. If the Lord of heaven and earth is the one, follow him. And let's pray. The one who releases fire. Can you imagine? God is there, chilling, and then this guy is saying, by the way, you're going to release fire here. Yeah? So after he gives God that idea, God releases fire. The whole altar is consumed and burnt. You know the story. As you think about this Mount Carmel experience, Mount Carmel wasn't a small mountain. That fire was enough to annihilate the whole of this hotel. Okay? It was really strong fire. And it even dried the water that was around the altar. Then now Jezebel comes and says, you, come on, if I lay my hands on you, you're done. This guy is like, you know what? Mm-mm. He runs away. He runs away. A prophet with a destiny. A prophet with a nations with a destiny. I told the guys in the prayer meeting, if it was me, I would have told Elijah, no, now. Eh? Now, no, no, no. As in, really? After I have shown you all this? But you see, if the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions, he was a man like you and I. He got tired. He got depressed. Why? Because he thought that that act would turn the children of Israel back to their God. But it didn't. So this guy gets depressed. He was also tired. Up to that time, they hadn't shown us any other prophet who could do what he was doing. Others were students. And the other ones that he didn't know about, of course. So it's very possible that he was tired. He was exhausted. That journey was long. 450 kilometers into the wilderness, it says. This guy walked. He ran into the wilderness. He was so, so tired. So, if he is a man of like passions, that means that even us on our restaurant, Bijakubao, if you are not yet tired, wait for your turn. Or, if you got tired last year, this sermon is for you. Glory to God. This sermon is for you. I hope that by the time I finish, you'll be rejuvenated to pray seriously for strength on your journey. So Elijah runs away. When he runs away, he gets into the wilderness and he sleeps. I'm going to read this portion from my Bible here. So he sleeps. 1 Kings 19:5. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Then he looked and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. He arose, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. You know, you would expect God to say, but like, after I've showed you all this power, how can it even be hard that you ran away? Like, first of all, for me, when I was reading this part, I was angry on God's behalf. I'm like, yeah, but Elijah, how could you do this? But you see, the man was tired. He was tired. And so you'd expect God to come in like Joan and say, now you're on your own. Even this cabroom tree, kankajewo, let me kill it, Jonah style. Let me send a worm and it eats it to Labe, just to teach you a lesson. But you see, God is not like that. He sympathizes with us. He knows that we are mortal man. He knows that you'll get tired. So instead, you know what? He met his need. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't tell him that, oh, you, what? No. He says, get up and eat. You need food. I mean, who runs for that long and they're not hungry? He gave him food. He ate. He does not rebuke him. He doesn't, you know, it's amazing. He doesn't rebuke him. He just says, get up, eat. He gets up and he eats. Then he sends an angel the second time. Papa Elijah, get up and eat because the journey ahead of you is too long. So God acknowledges that what he has called you to do, you cannot do that in your own strength. You will need strength from him. Glory to God. And he has given us that provision through the power of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now there are many things you can do, but today we're talking about praying. And the reason why we're talking about praying is that so you may remember that God sympathizes with you. Okay, tell us, sit on you and you stay there. But God sympathizes with you. He understands when you're tired. He understands your confusion. He understands ngabiku sobe day. He understands that. And he makes provision. Glory to God. At this point, he gives him food. They don't even go into the details of the spirituality of what had just gone on. It would be a little too deep for Elijah at that time, the man of God. Those things were too deep. He just needed to eat. So this man eats. Glory to God. And then, guess what? God goes ahead and tells him that, and there he went, after he had eaten, verse 9, there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You see the goodness of God, that God drew this man out. God wanted conversation, like he didn't know what Elijah was doing. So what are you doing here? Tell me. Chichi, chechukuluma. That was God asking Elijah, what are you doing here? And listen to the response. Elijah is like, okay, God, you've come. Now let me tell you my things. He starts, verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone, I am left, and they seek to kill my life. As in, God is like, tell me your complaint. Chichi. So I want us to remember that when things get difficult, God is a good father. Hallelujah. He did it for a prophet who he had shown this power. For you, what have you seen? How much more for you? God is he's a good, good father. When you read the scriptures, I encourage us, look for Jesus. Look for God in the scriptures. Not just, look for the character of God. For me, this experience with Elijah spoke the fatherliness of God. That at that point, he treats Elijah not even as a prophet, but he treats him as his child. Hallelujah. He doesn't rebuke him, mad, thunder, bitchy. Okay, those things happened later, but he doesn't, rebuke him at that point. He says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Tell me, in other words, tell me. Okay? So, we go back again. God asks him the same question in verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it after he had heard the still small voice that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here? Again, we see God engaging Elijah. God doesn't ask redundant questions. There was something he wanted. He wanted Elijah to talk to him. Elijah couldn't talk to the broom tree. Elijah couldn't talk to the angel. God himself came and said, what are you doing here? So on your track, when you feel alone, when you feel nobody understands you, and by the way, we shall not understand you, even us leaders, we may not understand some of your things, maybe even most of the time, but you have God. You have God the Father, the comfort that he will give you. So again, I see God drawing him out as a father. And Elijah wasn't, he didn't go about what super spiritual. He just told him, Zemukama, these guys are not turning back. They want to kill me. I alone, I am remaining. And guess what? God doesn't rebuke him. He says, okay, now, this is what you're going to do. Return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Then he gives him three things. Anoint Hazael, king over Syria, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, over as king over Israel. And then get, anoint a prophet in your place, Elisha. He tells him what to do. He gives him a solution. But he says, after things were tight, this man had run his, he was running his race. Nganabi. And things were so tight. And he, at that point, he went to God and told him, Nkoye, I am tired and I am scared. He was confused. He just didn't know why that fire that he had called down could not convert the hearts of men. He didn't understand that. He had a heart for the people of God. So the first point is, remember on your journey that there is provision for supernatural strength. There is provision for it. Let's look at the example of Jesus Christ as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22:39-46. The Bible tells us in Hebrews to look to Jesus as our example. Look to Jesus as your inspiration. Focus on him. Because he has been tried in every way. So here it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, and as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him, then he came to the place and he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, Jesus at this point, he's making this prayer. When I read this, I was like, but why would Jesus pray like this? Couldn't he, what is the meaning of the prayer? And some studies say that he wasn't really afraid of death. He was afraid of the journey. If it was for dying and shedding blood, strike me dead. Tuchimale wano wendi. But that, you see, that shows that, Jesus wasn't actually really afraid of the death per se, because he knew that his father could have taken him out. He could have just, you know, but the whole journey, the next 3 days, of suffering, of being smitten, of being whipped, put on the cross, but, you know, these people that you came to die for, he did not disagree with going to the, with death. But I think what I understood is the way, the journey there. Sometimes things get difficult on our journey and you're like, Mukama, I don't mind. Okay. But must I go through this? Isn't there any other way this can come to pass? I have asked God those questions. But you did this for that person. It was easier. Me, must I go through this? Must I walk this journey? Is this really necessary? You are God. Yeah? You are God. So sometimes it is not about the end part for me, for us Christians. Sometimes you get to a point and you're like, but must it be this difficult? Must I run this race like this? Is your God, you're the creator, you can find another way, all right? So, just like Jesus at that point is like, I don't want to take this route. Find another way to kill me, in other words. Find another way to have me shed my blood, but not this way. Not this shameful, disgraceful death, okay? And so in our lives, sometimes it's like that. And as he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw, he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus Christ, the perfect example. We see an angel going and strengthening who? Elijah. Now we see another angel appearing, I don't know if it was the same, to strengthen Jesus, who the Bible says we should focus on. Even Jesus got to a point and things were tight in his race. And guess what? It was towards the end. It was towards the end of his destiny. And an angel comes and strengthens him. What does this mean? Again, you and I, you will lose the strength. You will get to a point where it's difficult, you're confused, you're you're in agony. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed, what do you think he was praying for? Strength for that hour. Strength. God strengthened me to go through this. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Okay? So, my point is, Jesus Christ, who is supposed to be, or who should be our focus, or who the Bible tells us that we should focus on, got to a point where he was weak and he needed to be strengthened. And guess what? He prayed. So you and I must pray all the time for strength. Glory to God. Not only in the bad times, but even because you know that that day of adversity is coming. Hallelujah. Joseph. Hey, for me, Joseph, ever since I read about him this year, I think it turned my whole thinking. Joseph had obuloto bubiri, two dreams. Took him over 25 years to reach his destiny, for those dreams to be fulfilled. He didn't know when he was getting those dreams, Genesis 37, when he was getting those dreams, you could have thought that this was going to take place in the land of Canaan. Because he had read, I mean, his father had told him the story, the promises of his great-grandfather, I don't think Joseph in his mind, even as he was receiving those dreams, he never knew that the way to his destiny would have to be that journey that he took. Don't you think, just two dreams, like, don't you think Joseph was like, God, is this really necessary? Like, must I, can't I be prime minister in Canaan? Must I go to Egypt like this? Hallelujah. So, Joseph, how many dreams do you people have? For you have so many. For him, he had obuloto bubiri. And the guy, man, those true dreams were problematic. Guy was sold, taken, what, Potiphera, all the things that he went through in Egypt. Just two dreams. So, Elliot, you have a lot more revelation than Joseph. Therefore, you'd expect that your journey is easier. But Munange, among the cloud of witnesses looking at you, cheering you on, saying, don't give up, is Joseph saying, Zenaina will be the praise, don't give up, don't give up. I had two dreams, please. Yeah, I didn't even know the proper interpretation of those dreams. Praise, please do not give up on your destiny. Keep going. All right? And then, you know, life has a way. I imagine Joseph, when he was a prisoner, having the ability to interpret other people's dreams. And at that point, it hasn't yet occurred to him. It hasn't yet really occurred to him that, you know what? This is all part of the plan. I think, do you know what that means? You talk about a faithful God, but you're in prison. Imagine, are there people who you talk to and say, Mukama Mulunji, and then they look at you and they don't see any goodness of God on the outside. Say, Mukama, God will provide for you. Abami, that happens a lot to prosperity preachers, Glory to God. People who preach prosperity. And I say, God, what? And that is why this prosperity message has been corrupted, because people feel like they need to look the part, And it's right that you should look the part of the things you're preaching, but I think the pressure from people is just too much. Some guy comes and says, Mukama, agenda kuwas, olgoye, what nenga his shirt, my friend. You're like, Say, God, I see God blessing you with a car, and you're like, na yegwe, ye, diwa. For you, you're telling me these things, but where is yours? Joseph was like that. He's talking about the God of heaven, in prison. He's talking about the God of heaven. How God can do this, all those things. But he himself, he's a prisoner. You can imagine how many people looked at Joseph and felt like, this guy is cuckoos. Like, please, sort out your house first. Why are we here? Ate by the way, you know what led him. You, what is your sentence again? For me, I wouldn't even listen to such a person. What is your sentence? Potiphar's what? There's just no way for you can be here. Do you understand? I can even, I think many prisoners could have challenged Joseph on the whatever of his sentence. Like, I'm even in here for a much less sentence. Me, it was a B and E, break and enter. For you, you went for the big lady. Hey, like, seriously, Joseph, really? And you're here talking about God? That was Joseph's journey. When we read the Bible, because we know the end, we don't think about these things. But he needed strength. He needed strength. God knew that those two dreams were going to suffice for him. And you know what? He gave him strength to go through all those things. And eventually he fulfilled his destiny. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, L.A.T. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. God promises us that he is our refuge and our strength. He is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. The bit of the strength is not necessarily what the journey is. It's not necessarily that you're going through suffering. It's just continuous okola mukama chakwi sokola na amanyi with that zeal. Okay? So God promises you that every day, even when you wake up and there is no obvious suffering, even that strength that you have, he will be that strength for you. Glory to God. He will give you that strength. So in your state of confusion, in your what, pray for this strength. Because here the Bible tells us that he is our strength. You know the scripture. God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. All right? So when you get weak, when you feel weak, I used to feel that when, you know, like when things would be tough for me, or maybe I'm in that place where I'm confused, depression, no, but confused, I feel, sit again, that where things are heading. For me, that weakness, I would not want to show it to maybe people, because you see, there is a way in which people say, Neguli musumba. How can things be difficult? Like, you are the one who prays. How can things be difficult? So many times I would not want to even show people that, you know, and then I would even condemn myself for feeling that way. I'd say, but why would I even feel this way? That means I'm not praying enough. That means I'm not fasting enough. That means I'm not worshiping. What am I not doing enough? But yet scripture is very clear. You're going to be weak. So accept it. You're going to be weak. Accept that, you know what? Weakness is part of this, but what are you supposed to do? Pray to God for strength. So that time, I changed and I'm like, no, now things are different. Now I tell my friends when things are hard, things are tough, I tell them, guys, give me a moment. First give me a moment, let me get these things sorted, then I'll be right back. Hallelujah, Christine. Amen. So just first give me a moment. Yeah? And that moment sometimes takes like 2-3 weeks. But by the time I'm out of there, I have the strength of God and I'm like, where were we? Tugende. Yeah, we have to fulfill this destiny. Sometimes things can be really, really tough. Yeah. Daniel 11, 32b. Those that know their God. Shall be strong. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Again, you will be strong. There is a case for inward, that strength, mental. You're like, God, me have waited on this promise. Oh God, this destiny that you gave me, binemie, I don't understand. Bamvumabuvumi, the friends have gone. I'm even broke. I'm what? Eh? Someone was telling me on Saturday. I think when he came back from the kids' school that, You know, I think they want us to pay 50,000 to buy something for our son, which we feel, me and Sam feel like, sure. 50K. A kilo of what? Some, meanwhile, it's an experiment. How many of you have done sciences here? Put up your hands. If you have done sciences, you guys are the most wasteful people I know. Yeah? Those experiments, what you get over powder, why it comes out wasted. Now that one cannot work anymore. Now we will have to buy about what? I said, what? What is going on here? So they told us to buy something that I think is a kilo. No, it's half a kilo. It's 50,000 for his experiment. And you're like, but half a kilo. Then after, whoa. Flames come up, or maybe, I don't know, that's what I imagine that the thing is about. Maybe flames, fumes come up, and then the rest of, you have, I think we even need just like a teaspoon. Of the half a kilo, we need a teaspoon for pwah. So I told Sam, So I looked around, asked co-parents, they're in Vine, but guys, do you have, is there anyone who has any remaining powder? But you know, we disagreed with that thing, buying that thing. Me and Sam were on the same page. We're like, but this thing is just wasteful. You look at the value of the money and the thing that you're going to buy, and all of a sudden you're broke. You don't have that money. I don't have that 50K for what? For that thing. Not that you don't have it in your pocket. It's there. But for that, you are broke. You're like, Nzesina Sentezo. So I asked Sam, but what do you think? Do you think these parents here feel this campaign like? So, we're there. We haven't yet bought the thing, but we know we are going to end up buying it. Pwah! We have those fumes and blue things going up after the teaspoon. And then Sam said, you know what? Maybe after we bought it, we just take it and give it to the school. And then the school will say, hey, bring. And you're like, but. So I looked around a few friends, some parents, asking them if they have that powder, yeah? To me, it feels like it's gunpowder. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to use it for, yeah? But, like, I feel like, you know, I asked their science teacher, I asked a parent there, I thought about Pastor Moses, the kids in different classes. I don't know if you'll also ask me for that gunpowder when his time comes. Pastor is already booking it. But you know, after using it once, it expires. You're like, it's like yeast. You know, when you open yeast and you leave it open for a while. Meanwhile, our yeast is sold in big packets like this, 16,000. Use it once, leave it open, it's gone. Yeah. And you're like, but why? Yeah. So I was telling some that, prosperity. Because we don't have that 50K. But if you had told us 50,000, we go, take out tobacco and we eat. That one is there. It's there. Some will be like, this is the place to get tobacco chicken from. What? But not gunpowder, but that powder. I'm like, man, some things are just overrated. Okay? So, on my journey in parenting, educating, you were like, no. We are not going to be spending this much money. No. Just for this, And it's just 50K. So anyway, we look prosperous, but people can't understand that we have issues with 50,000. Hallelujah. And those parents there, they can't even talk. They just keep quiet, driving their nice cars and they go. So they leave us with our small cars to be there and say, but 50,000, half a kilo. Don't you have a shop that sells in what? In spoons. We even tried as like, okay, you know what? I'm willing to pay 20K. I bring the child to school. To you, the science teacher, you teach him your things, your name, when that 20K, as in, yeah, Mugende. So I really found that it was, you know, that 50K was paining me, pain! Like, 50K. And the boy is relentless on his dad. Daddy, the argan powder. Daddy, the argan powder. He's like, I'll get it. This weekend, I'll get it. Argan powder. Is it alga? Alum powder. But I don't like the experiment because for me, chinumanyo, that scientists can be this wasteful. Hallelujah. And the cost of teaching a child. In fact, I asked some that, can't we improvise? Because you see in our curriculum, they say you can improvise. Yeah. So many times if you don't have about what, if you don't have which sticky, about glue, you can go and get something else. But for this one, Sam told me, Joanne, there's no, you're the master of improvisions here. There is no improvising. We have to buy the alum. We have to buy it. And you see, and it's not like it's accessible. It's not like it's easily accessible here on the road. Oh, but you have to go. Where did they tell you to go? Oh, but some guy, they even gave him, they are being to be a contactee. Yeah? You have to get the contact, then call. That is your airtime. Then call. Now I want alum. 50K. Hey, how much is delivery? So you see now we've gone past the 50K. Delivery charges, what? And then the child comes. Pah! Mommy, what does this mean? I don't understand it. I'm like, you had better understand that stuff. Because for me, I'll talk for that 50K. So, things can get difficult. That was a detour. But things can get difficult. All right? Things can get difficult, but God is your strength. God is your strength. Not like, God's strength is not, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going to give an example, but glory to God. God gives you the strength during your difficult time. What does God want us to do today? What does God expect you to do when you're weak? Pray for the strength. Pray. Sometimes all you need to do, by the way, there is a way in which when things are tough on the journey, even the prayers change. You even stop, you kind of feel like, God, even tongues, katiziganye. Even those prayers that we make here in Luzungu, what, biganye. Some of us just go into our mother tongues and you're pacing and you're just saying, mukame mbabazi, mercy, mbabazi, mbabazi. Like, God, help me, sisagala selida, help me. I don't want to draw back, help me. I don't want to lose time. You know, sometimes on that journey, you realize that when you spend a lot of, like when things get difficult, you even lose time. Because maybe you even detach from what God has told you to do. If God told you to serve in church, that is when you send a message. I feel like being off. Hallelujah, worship team. I feel like being off. I need time alone. I need, but Munang, the things of God are not like that. We don't, sometimes at work you feel you're so drained, and of course you're entitled to leave, all right? You are entitled to leave, so you immediately put in your leave request. You're like, Wanang, I'm tired, I need leave. Da-da-da-da. But if you knew that the strength you need is the inner man's strength, then probably that leave is not so important, that physical leave that you're taking, all right? Because if you take the physical leave and you don't pray, and you think that he's going to deal with what your deficit in the inner man, you're lying. You'll go back to work just in time to start from where you stopped. Okay? So, you put in that, katiwanom eleti, tetubina, ebya leave. But if you want, you can ask pastor, he can give you leave. He's never forced anyone to serve. But, I want some time alone. Alone time, couples, hallelujah. I want alone time, being to be God. I want to be alone. I want to be alone. You know the things that men and women say. I want time alone. Then 3 weeks, watching football, what, eating out of home. Hey, you come back, sleep, get up, go to work. Nobody busy everywhere else but home and your children and your spouse. Time alone. Because you think that time alone is going to feel that in a man. I'm telling you the truth. You will go. You will eat your life. Nemereje tuli ewaka. Beans. I think I need chicken. You go. I need chigere. Yeah? You go. There's like a place near National Theater where I'm told they sell bigere of all types. See, I didn't think they sell human feet, but well, who knows. Say, whoa. Chigere. Nemereje waka. There's just a way in which siji feeling. You're like, you go, you eat, you feel your body, you come back. That lasts a few moments. The next day you're looking for something, you're hungering for something else to feel that, the deficit you have in your inner, you learn to diagnose your problems on this earth. Let's learn to diagnose our problems. If you feel you're weary, you're what? May it be that you actually need strengthening in the inner man, not just the physical strength. Glory to God. Amen. So, and again, like I said, you are going to walk these things. Sometimes you're going to walk them alone. That one I know for sure. I know. There are things that I wish, sometimes, I think I was telling Sam some time back, I wish he understood some things. I even told him, I wish you understood the psychology above what? Sam looked at me. He's like, I could see him doing like this in his, but Bambi, the nice husband he is, he just looked at me and said, He continued driving. I just knew in psychology, I wish you would understand. So let's not put unfair demands on our friends, on our spouses, on your girlfriend, there are some things they're not good. Even don't put those unfair demands on us servants of God, because you may not really understand some of these things. First, go to God. If God leads you to talk about your matter, you'll get a call. But many times, we shall not understand. I'm going to end with that. Example of giving birth, because as a woman, it's the one thing I know that you walk through. It's some people say it's like the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, whether you've had a C-section or gone another way, you walk that journey alone. The way that rest starts out, you are okay. Mumpechai, massage the back. Oh, bring powder, put you on the back. Then they massage. Oh, chulidawa mama, chiriwano. Then they massage. Then they massage. Then that they come and check you. The doctor says 5 centimeters. Things are beginning to get tough. 5 centimeters. You walk around. Yagala chai. They come and check you. You're 7 centimeters. You're doing so bad. You're like, tukwechai, no, sagala chai. It's what? You know, you start out even wearing your fancy sandals. I've seen those things on social media. Nowadays, our kazi, I know, like our times, Christine. Nowadays, someone goes lipstick, car, sige, what? Our time, my friend, there's no time for kasige, nothing. No time for lipstick. By the time they check you and they tell you you're progressing well at 9 centimeters, the husband who was there, Toya Gala Kumulaba, just looking at him is annoying. You like, even look at his, look at his eyes, look at his fingers, You're just annoyed. You're like, Ndakuzala. You can't even believe that guy is even my husband. Agala kuzala. You're like, Labuomutwe, Saga Namulava. You're like, I didn't even know you're in the corner. Wait. You're at 9 centimeters. Doctor comes and checks and says, Madam, you're progressing well. I got to a point where I told the doctor, Doctor, nsala, I'm at 9, nsala, ndibubi. That was crazy. Ndibubi. The doctor came, checked me, said, I have no obstetric reason as to why I should take you for a C-section. He just said, I just had no and obstetric. I just knew he was saying, Nyabo, you're doing well. Said, good progress. At that point, I didn't want anyone to touch me. Chayoba namusamba. I didn't want what? As like, Banange, I just want to give birth. And it is so natural that when I wasn't even instructed that now push, the baby just what? Came. Hallelujah. I just knew what to do at that hour. But in that time, I was walking that journey alone. Even the well-meaning doctor, the well-meaning nurse, the well-meaning spouse, taliwo, it's the 11th, you're in agony. You are sorrowful because you're going to birth something. Just like Jesus Christ, he was in agony. He was birthing you and I. And he walked through that valley solo like this. But let me tell you something. There is a strength that a woman will have at the end. And that strength will not be available at the start of the journey. But at the end, I don't know if it's adrenaline that doctors can explain, but you have so much strength that, you know, I remember holding the nurse like this. She removed my hand and said, "Kwate chitanda, oinzo kumenya." I had strength, you guys. She was like, "Oinzo kumenya juan," because the strength of a woman at that point is a lot, yeah? And but I don't know what it is. Hormones, adrenaline, call it whatever you call it. But for me, I think it is a provision that God has given you to go through that time. It is that strength. So, and for the joy that is set before you. So, that is how it is with us. When we are pursuing, when we are full, if you want to really fulfill God's call on your life, you'll go through these things. But there is strength. Glory to God. There is strength. There is strength. And you can finish. You can endure to the end. Just pray for it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are our strength. Lord, you have called us to walk a life that is worthy and pleasing to you, worthy of the calling. Now, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that for those who need strength to wait on the promises you have given them, those who need strength to continue on this journey and not draw back, those who need to endure, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that today they receive the strength, that they do not draw back, that, Lord, they will receive strength to do even the hard things, to go through their moments of agony. And Lord God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our mediator, our advocate, the one who's always interceding for us not to give up. Lord God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that in LAT we do not give up. Thank you, Lord, that the ministers in LAT do not give up on what you have called them to do. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, King of Glory, that you have strengthened us today. I thank you, Lord, that we have strength for the journey that is ahead of us, even if the days are wicked. Father, we thank you that we are not overwhelmed with the wickedness that is around us. Thank you that we are not overwhelmed by everything that we have to go through on our journeys. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening us. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.